Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Richard Roper is in today. Anna back tomorrow. Taking an extra day here, although no one knows what the hell day it is. It's the most confusing holiday of all times, as far as one can tell.
It's true.
All right. This is interesting. What have they done now? What did North Korea just do? Because it doesn't seem doesn't seem like this is a good situation here. Seems like it's a quite honestly, it's a very bad situation. And we've talked to Joe Cinceroni before. Cinceroni, I should say. I like to pronounce his name properly. If he took the time to call us, we might as well be able to get his name right. He's the president of Plowshares Fund, a global security foundation, and is also the author of a book about exactly this this issue, because we talked to you just I think 2 months ago, Joe, about what kind of missile technology they've got, and you predicted that eventually they were going to have the type of capability that they obviously displayed, and the U.S. government confirms that they displayed on Monday. So tell us what that is that they have.
Yeah, thank you. Pleasure to be on with you guys. This happened faster than most of us thought. This is a very ambitious program, and they've been testing missiles at a faster pace than ever before. In fact, in the 5 years since Kim Jong-un has been the leader of North Korea, he's had 83 missile tests, more than his father and his grandfather combined in their whole history. But this missile crossed a line. Instead of going short range, medium range, intermediate range, this is true intercontinental range. So he's got an intercontinental ballistic missile that can span the oceans. He can hit Singapore. He can hit Australia. He can hit Sarah Palin's front porch in Alaska. So for the first time, he can touch the continent of North America. It can't yet get to the continental United States, that is Los Angeles or New York or Washington. But if he just keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to get there. He's going to be able to hit Chicago, New York, with a thermonuclear warhead probably before the end of Trump's first term.
And how do we know this based on what the missile test showed us? How are we able to confirm that?
Well, we watched it. So we, North Korea is one of the most watched countries in the world. So we saw this thing go off, and the North Koreans then gave out statistics, which our independent observations confirmed. It only traveled about 570 miles, but that's because it went almost straight up. It went up 1,700 miles. So if you're flying in a plane, for example, you probably reach a peak altitude of 6 miles, maybe 7 miles. This went 1,700 miles straight up and then straight down. So, and they did that intentionally. They call it a lofted trajectory. You flatten that out, and that's what gives you the range. 37 minutes of flight time, traveling over that distance, that shows you that this missile could travel over 4,000 miles, about 4,000 miles. That's enough to hit Alaska. And that also means that they were testing reentry. They were testing coming back into the atmosphere at very high speeds, at very high temperatures, testing their nose cone. Can the warhead survive that? Do they have a reentry vehicle that can land on target intact? We don't know how well the warhead did. We don't know how the terminal guidance did. Did they actually hit where they were aiming or not? But what we do know is this is a very impressive demonstration. This is a serious weapon, unlike anything they had shown before, and there's more to come. They have at least two other ICBM prototypes, the intercontinental ballistic missile prototypes, that we're likely to see tested in the months ahead.
Wow.
And Joe, we look at this, and it's impossible to get into the mind of someone like Kim Jong-un, but to what end is all this? Is it all bravado? Is it all, posturing? Or is it a legitimate threat?
It's a threat to us because he could deliver a nuclear warhead. For him, this is his defense. This is what he thinks. He sees the U.S. and so you look out from his front window, and he sees the U.S. on his doorstep. He sees South Korea Army ready to go. He sees us practicing every year with the South Koreans, many exercises that are practice invasions of North Korea. We do things, we practice things called decapitation strikes, a quick hit that could hit Pyongyang, the capital, and hit leadership headquarters. He sees this, and he says, my only answer to this has got to be a nuclear weapon. This is what will guarantee me survival. So he wants to have a nuclear weapon, which he's got, with rockets, which he's got, that can hit Japan and South Korea, which he's got, but he really wants to be able to hit the United States. He thinks that even being able to do mass destruction in Japan and South Korea is not enough. He has to threaten the homeland, and he's now within sight of that goal. It's not done. One test does not a missile make. You got to do more. You got to do multiple tests of these missiles. You have other things to do. You have to be able to shrink the warhead down to the size that it can fit on the missile. But he's getting there, and he sees this as a guarantee of his security.
But he's not stopping, despite all the rhetoric, despite what the president may have said, or despite the amount of pressure that the Chinese government is or is not placing on him. That's still a little unclear. But in the economic sanctions, such that they are, all of that, despite all of that, he continues to go forward. He's not, you know, no matter what Donald Trump says, he's not stopping. So does it make sense? I mean, do you believe, as an expert on this, Joe, and you've written a book, Nuclear Nightmares, Securing the World Before It's Too Late, is it necessary now to try to do a decapitation strike?
No, and this is what our best military experts are warning us against. You hear some loose talk about this. Let's just knock the guy out, and it's kind of satisfying. It's chest thumping, lance the boil, things like that. The problem is North Korea is not Syria. You strike North Korea, they strike back. You do a strike of whatever size, small, medium, massive, they are going to hit back. And they don't even need nuclear weapons to do terrible damage. And this is what Secretary of Defense General Mattis warns us about. There are 10,000 artillery tubes and rockets within range of Seoul, the capital of South Korea, a city of about 25 million people in the metropolitan area. Estimates are that those rockets would kill hundreds of thousands of South Koreans in the first few hours of a war. So you go to war here, you do a strike on North Korea, they're going to strike back, and then it's off to the races. And you're looking at a war unlike anything we've seen before. As General Mattis says, unlike any in the living memory of most Americans, you're looking at World War II style casualties, hundreds of thousands, even millions killed. And that's if he doesn't go nuclear. You go nuclear, and now you're guaranteeing millions, maybe tens of millions dead. That is not a risk worth taking.
So what's the answer then, do you think?
So there's other solutions. So let's take there's no military option, take that off the table. Well, then there's sanctions. Can sanctions pressure him? And that's what you heard Ambassador Nikki Haley talking about at the UN today in a very strong and even eloquent speech. But the idea that sanctions will force a country to capitulate or comply with you is an illusion. It's never happened in the past, and we've tried them on numerous states. And the fact is China, the one that could really strangle North Korea, is not willing to do that. They don't want to see the collapse of North Korea, the chaos that would cause on the peninsula. But you can get states to put more sanctions on, and we should do this, as a tool to force North Korea back to the negotiating table. And that is really the answer. No state has ever been compelled to give up its nuclear weapons, but many states have been convinced to do so. Well, right now, no way North Korea is going to give them up. But can you get them to freeze the program? There are signs that you can.
But can we negotiate with a guy who thinks Dennis Rodman is his best friend? I mean, I don't mean that in a flippant way. I mean, is that guy's nuts? Can he negotiate?
Well, he... I don't want to talk about our president, but he's worse than odd. He's brutal. He's ruthless. Look what he did to the American, the poor student who stole a poster from his wall and paid with his life, Otto Warmbier. And he's doing that to tens of thousands of his own citizens. I mean, this guy runs gulags where thousands have been starved to death or worked to death. This is a brutal, odious regime, no question about it. Which is all the more reason that you don't want this guy to get nuclear weapons that can hit the United States, why you want to freeze it in place. Can you do it? negotiations are the only thing that have worked. We have gotten freezes on his program in the past, over a missile moratorium that lasted 8 years.
Do we have verifiability with him? I mean, does he allow inspectors?
Yes, you can get, and for a deal like this, where you're talking about freezing the whole program, which is now much bigger than when we froze it in the 1990s and the 2000s, yes, you'd have to have intrusive inspections. And we have some models to use with the deal with Iran, which are very intrusive inspections. Plus, of course, we have all our intelligence apparatus. North Korea has a history of cheating, and we have a history of catching them when they cheat.
So, in terms of game changing, because I do recall when we talked to you a couple of months ago, you talked about the intercontinental ballistic capabilities here, and I think you were parroting what most of the experts in the field believed, that it was a year away or so. And now that we know it's just a couple months, you know, that have transpired here, and you said there's two more that are going to be tested. I mean, by the end of next year, do you think it'll be capable of hitting?
That might be a little fast. Again, you know, one test is not an ICBM make. You're not sure it's reliable. You're not sure if it further worked. You know, and so you want to do multiple tests. Any country, even North Korea, would do this before you have confidence in the system. And this is what they've done with their previous systems. They're still testing short-range missiles to try to improve their accuracy.
Yeah.
But that, I think the estimate that most of my colleagues give is 4 or 5 years. They will have perfected a reliable missile that can hit most cities in the United States with not just an atomic bomb, which is what they have now, but probably a hydrogen bomb, a thermonuclear device that could be hundreds of megatons.
All right.
That's what they're going for. Now, remember, they've only been doing missile tests. We haven't seen a new nuclear weapons test, but I think that's next. I think that's coming, particularly if the U.N. passes more sanctions. Their history is when the U.N. does something like that, they show their defiance by taking another step.
Joe, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, Joe.
It's bad, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah, thank you. You know, that's what my mother always says, too. I don't know. She should be right about it.
Sorry, guys. There is hope. People, some of the best minds in the country are currently working on solutions on this. We'll have to see if the president's willing to consider them.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
That's a big if.
Thank you.
Joseph Serencioni, who has written a book called Nuclear Nightmares, Securing the World Before It Is Too Late, and Bomb Scare, The History and Future of Nuclear Weapons and Deadly Arsenals. Boy, he's interesting at a dinner party, I'll tell you that. But you go. Yeah. I think I'll skip dessert.
Yeah, is that Joe?
I'll have a cocktail instead of dessert.
Exactly.
Wow. Violetta Powder Medic has got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.